Dennis,
which means that there is a demographic in mind that particular person wanted the expansion to look like. I am just saying.
I remember.
Good. So I am just saying to you that there is nothing wrong with having a figure, but what you need to do is to demark where you want these people, at what level, what income level, which is what other countries have done. Canada said, look, we need 3.5 million more people, but we need university graduates between the ages of 20 and 40, because I want people who are going to marry and produce children.
Listen,
while
you're
making some money.
My point so well. I tell you, you are, like, you've listened to me. You've got a peep in my brain, because what I'm saying is,
I listen to
the
people.
The first thing, as you talk about, let me just connect it, because this is so wonderful, the way how you have, the point you've made, so connecting to what I want to say. First of all, as it relates to your gene pool, whatever, I'm not even going there. But what I'm saying is, I want persons to be very cognizant of the fact that a society...
See why I said it was a well-kept secret?
Sorry?
That's why I said it was a well-kept secret. Ma'am, the gene pool is very much behind a lot of what we hear. But go ahead.
Yes.
I listen.
Right. The thing is that a society is formed, Dennis. You can't just throw people together and expect them to be, that to be a cohesive unit. Mm-hmm. We look at places like Sweden, where they took in all those Syrians and all that out of the kindness of their heart, humanitarian concerns. You bring people with different cultures, different mindsets, different beliefs, etc. And how do you make them into a society that is cohesive? That's number one. Secondly, the whole question of what it is you really want. UK, United Kingdom, Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister, has decided that, well, now they're out of the EU, they don't have to take in these people as the EU rules as to anybody can move. And he said the way they're going to go now is, is to look at skill set. So what skills do we need? And that's why I was saying UE, private sector, and government need to sit down and determine what are our current skills deficiencies. Where are we deficient in certain skills and areas that we need boosting? And then that's currently. But then look 10 or 20, 30 years down the road, what would the demands be? And how do we need to adjust to accommodate those demands? So then UE would work on the programs they're offering. The private sector will know that they have a steady skill of persons coming in. And if UE cannot get those within the population, because there are a number of UE graduates. We had a younger called David Ellis, a young gentleman, and a number of them are out because the type of subjects that are being offered, they're like from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s era. So I am saying, just like you said, we need to look, first of all, do a study. This is why manpower planning is important. What type of skills you need? Because once you open the immigration and you say, if you come here and you live here 2 years, you can become a citizen. That is anybody, tout monde can come, everybody come in. And then you have pressure on your health services. I read to Davis Ellis an article where a gentleman who works at UE St. Augustine says, Bobby, this is on the brink of a precipice as it relates to this health care for all. We don't have the beds. So Dennis, follow me, connect the dots with me. Just as you were saying, the government, first of all, needs to engage its people. The 29% said, we can make this decision and we can change immigration so anybody who stay here or anybody who come and see FME certificate can become a citizen after 5 years. And no. People are coming to live in this country. We have to determine we need these skills. We have to determine what the citizens of Barbados want. You can determine that for 260,000. And then you need to find out your housing stock, water stock, education, health, etc., etc. I could go on and on, but I just say those are the things that we need to look on. And based on what I am seeing, and thankfully Caswell Franklin has been showing us, and legislation, decisions being taken by this government has shown not to be properly thought out. You come up one morning and say, we're going to do this. You come up one morning. If you are operating in financial constraint and shortfall, because of COVID, it got worse. This is not the time to be increasing, opening the doors for immigration. A word to the wise is enough. Dennis,
okay, ma'am. Thank you very much. Let me say to you, however, that if you have a situation where If you have a situation where you plan to have construction work restarted on several projects, if you need to have some persons to do the work, then you have to make provision for them to be here. I was not alarmed because I know it has happened. I just didn't expect that the 12 people renting rooms still existed. I thought with the change in demographic and people going home that this rental of room had gone down. Apparently it does not. So, but it raises another interesting point. And the interesting point it raises is this. When we have the Minister of Housing, ministers of housing in the past have done it as well, talk about the housing stock and providing housing for the population. The question I keep asking is that the housing that the population requires? I remember under the former Minister of Housing, one of the former Ministers of Housing, questions were asked about Lancaster houses, questions were asked about the Grotto, and the question that was asked was, is that what the people want? And one of the answers given by one of the Ministers of Housing was, you know, we have a land bank, people get land, those who want to build do that, those who want to move off. In the current environment where, to listen to Mr. Lane, former, the guy who was hosting yesterday, Corey, where people are going from family to family, where people are scotching by friends, where people who used to live on their own going back home because they're unemployed or they're underemployed or their funds have run out, what position will they be in to purchase these houses and the new stock that's being built? So it goes back to my comment about owning piece of the rock and how that has changed over the years from, you know, renting a spot and building a chattel and expanding and to getting a mortgage or buying a piece of land and putting it down to ripen. So when we come up with solutions, we also have to find out if the solutions are compatible with the need. Now, I'm not putting that on this or any other administration. It's an administrative problem that happens from time to time because there are people who have the answers when they're not being asked the question. And there are people who have the steps when they're not being asked to dance. However, when the dance starts, you can't foxtrot if it's a waltz playing. And you can't, you know, do the boogle if the funk is being played. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes they wait on the music to know what to dance. Brass Tacks, good morning.
A very good morning to you, Mr. Johnson.
What's the laughter about, though?
Long time no hear.
Well, we haven't engaged for quite a while, that's true.
Exactly. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Good. Well, I must say that you prompt me this morning and get me to come out and call again. Because I was so busy doing so many different things. But when you say this morning that we need to, I think I want to quote you right, we need to open up the economy, but in a safe way. We need to get foreign exchange. We need to get domestic reserve going. You caused me to, I think you're like ran into my brain. Because I said to myself, if we don't open up in a safe way, and I hope the people of this country will understand safety by following all the protocols necessary. But we cannot shut this place down. I have to pay wages, have to do so many different things. Where's the money going to come from? Now, By saying that, I say, you know what? I want to start off with something called agriculture. I have about probably 31,000 hectare acres to be cultivated. But I need help. I need help from people like Busy Williams. I need help from people like Andrew Bynoe. I need help from Mohammed Nasser. I need help from Dennis Johnson and David Ellis.
Not me, sir.
Why not you?
Not me at all. Sir, I have neither the qualifications nor the aptitude to do what you want me to do. I keep trying to... No. I'm telling you. I ain't asking you. I hear people making... Listen, people tell me I need to be humble, that when people don't agree with me, I just put on the phone in the air. People tell me, you trendy lady, you just boss me around. I just bow down and bend down and kiss your foot. All kind of foolishness. From listening to the radio. From listening to the radio. And you want me to help you? Then people will not come to your business. They can tell you, don't ask, he think he know everything. He don't. Stick with people who know. I'm telling you, I'm begging you, don't ask me. Go along. don't ask me. You're going to lose.
I think about the man that I know, right?
Oh, well, that's somebody else.
I think about the man that I know, right? Anyhow, let me get on with it. And I'm serious there. We need to get agriculture going. Not only think in terms of agriculture, we've got to think in terms of renewable energy. We're not only going to think about renewable energy, we talk about distribution. How are we going to do the manufacturing and all those sort of things? There's a lot on the plate, but we have to wake up as a people and be proactive. Now, I heard you just now talking about marijuana. And you were right, but you generally understand when you talk about forming.
A cooperative, an organization.
And you see... Not only
the man quoting St. Paul and telling me that I rude and I will be humbled. Okay.
Sir, this is my problem.
Let me ask you this question. Before you finish, let me just ask you this question. Why it is we don't like people to tell us the truth? Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. All right, let me explain something to you, right? I can say something to you not worldwide. People will listen and say, well, this might be something else. Jesus Christ came on this earth, right?
No.
They didn't want to crucify him, you know. They didn't want to curse him. They crucified him. They did all sorts of things. He came to save us all. So who is Dennis Johnson? Or who
Not Jesus Christ, please. No, Johnson? You only need one.
So the point is, people will criticize you at any cause.
Sir, but that's not... Sir, I know, but that's... Sir, but you see, that's not the point, right? The point I'm getting here is not whether people criticize me or not. I could deal with the criticism. The problem I have is when people have a problem with looking at what the issue is and choose to look at the person who's talking about the issue. Problem is, as you said, right? You have land, you need production for the land. If I say to you, to get your production going, get together. If the bank turns down one, they cannot turn down 500. What does my being humble or not humble have to do with that piece of advice, sir? If you want to grow tomatoes and you do not know how much the market can bear, you don't know that I have 50 acres and I grow in tomatoes, that Michelle got 50 acres and she grow in tomatoes, and you grow 50 acres of tomatoes and then find out that I supplying Popular and Michelle supplying Massey, and you got to sell yours by the side of the road, and government say you can't sell by the side of the road. What are you going to do with your tomatoes?
All right, eh? They see that the problem that we face as a people.
All the time, sir.
We are not being cohesive.
Yes, sir. And thank you for seeing the point I was trying to make. And because you sell papers in front of Starcom, I see you selling papers in front of Starcom, so I decided to sell papers across from Starcom by where the water authority have their pumping station. Because people stopping and crossing the road, so I can go across there.
I want to get back.
Go back to what you're talking about. Yeah. Well, marijuana.
We have marijuana right now, right?
Yeah.
And I am concerned because I heard that so far two have received their licenses, and due to the fact of the cost and this and that, deterring that sign. Mm-hmm. As you rightly said, come together as farm cooperatives and try and get into the area of marijuana. I tell you why. Do research. Marijuana, in some instances, making like $1 million a week on a 400-acre. Do research, people. I don't always stress on my one. I look at agriculture overall. And he's saying, so the way he called the names just now. Because we have to get to the point where we have to bring this island under a situation that we can be self or part self-sufficient. Until we understand that, we are going to be in problems. I can tell you the problems that people probably can't see right now. We have a situation of agricultural sector here under the Ministry of Agriculture. I want to say, as far as I'm concerned, as a no-no, because I don't understand nothing about agriculture. And they say openly, I can tell you why. When you go and do research and see what agriculture is all about, hey, we're just fooling around here, man.
So two things about that. One, the cannabis products currently on the market are being made with synthetic marijuana, not the natural plant. If you check the research, you'll see
right.
that too. One. Two. I got more to come. Right. Two. The question, one of the challenges facing Barbados is employment numbers. The agricultural sector in the past, like sugar, provided mass use of manual labor.
Manual labor.
Right. When you went to mechanical, you cut down a lot of that. So the question is, if you go to the cultivation of cannabis, what are the spin-off agencies, what are the spin-off benefits that will employ your people and at what level? Because the farms may not take mass labor. There are times when we need, for example, cotton pickers. But how many do you need and for what period? Again, seasonal employment. Now, here's where this bug that we call tourism bit us and bit us hard. Tourism provided numbers, because to have a 150-room luxury hotel, you had to have almost the same amount or more employees. You had people in cleaning the pool, you had grounds, you had bellmen, you had barmen, you had, you know, on and on and on and on, restaurant staff, kitchen staff, and so on. So if the hotel industry or the hospitality industry, because in addition to those employed at the hotel, you then have taxis, you have tour companies, yeah, the village shops, you have the entertainment people, the jet ski people, the plastic people off of Brandon's Beach and so on. So you have all these people involved in this thing called the hospitality industry. If it's broken, if you're not going to get to it, how do you employ all those people? You can't employ them in marijuana. How many taxi drivers will the marijuana industry employ? You know, so you have to find a mass employment agency in addition. And then you have to change the taste of your people. Because if we get accustomed to importing chicken wings, because a chicken only had two wings, and Barbados providing 50,000 chickens, so that's 100,000 wings, but you want 250,000 wings, you can import them. So you got to pay for it with foreign exchange. And that's why I was talking this morning about connecting the dots. Because when we look at an industry, we have to say, okay, is this a revenue earner or is this a mass employment earner? And let's see how we balance them off. Because we still got to employ our people. We can't all be hair braiders and barbers or taxi drivers.
But that's my thing, Dennis. I wasn't only going on marijuana and area.
I know. Yeah.
I was going out on a waiter base thereby. We're talking about getting our people up and active in the agricultural department.
Mm-hmm.
And let me explain why I say up and active. Cut out the backyard and decide to go in an era of industrial and whereby you have your machinery. And you don't necessarily have to one man buy all the machinery. You come together, have the machinery.
Correct.
It could be then,
Correct.
Be distributed. Man,
I ain't disagreeing with you on that, you know, sir.
We're going to get a panel to
but
understand
no,
this whole thing.
No.
Because, water distribution, right? Now,
yes.
We got a Rastaman in St. Philip that is doing a project now in Banff. We heard him on the program.
Mm-hmm.
He will be included. I'm going to tell you what, he has a lot of knowledge.
Yeah.
You see? We want knowledgeable people. People that are really interested in going forward to
sir?
Get this thing up and running. Not the bureaucracy.
It will take, you have a young chief agricultural officer who knows her onions as well as her potatoes and cassava. So perhaps. as the younger ones come in, new ideas will come to the fore and there'll be a change in policy. Who knows? The WhatsApp message says, is it possible for you to make this announcement for me? A lunch bag was left on a coaster vehicle, one used in the government TAP program, coming from Six Roads yesterday evening at about 4:45. Inside the bag is a wallet containing my driver's license, ID card, and bank cards. Can you ask the person who removed it to contact the radio station, or they can contact me at 571-7206. 4341790 Brass X.
Mrs. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Morning.
Hi, morning.
You can hear me?
Clearly.
Yes. I want to take you up a little bit. You know my voice, Ainsley Ben.
Right. Yes.
I'm not talking agriculture. I want to talk a little bit about cooperatives.
Okay.
Because I was hearing you with the guy who was talking about the marijuana.
Yeah, tell them get together, yeah.
No, yes, yes. I, in 1983, did a study in Canada. As a matter of fact, the Canadian Cooperative Association brought me up, and I did some studies in cooperative in credit union development. I came back down and was working all through the Caribbean, setting up or establishing farmers' cooperatives and credit unions. The hardest people to get together to form a cooperative were the farmers in Barbados. Hardest. I did it well in the lease and Portsmouth and all those places in Dominica. I did it all over St. Lucia.
Are you a Bajan? And you couldn't get it done in Barbados?
Can't get it done in Barbados. Barbadian farmers don't get together and cooperate. If you go down to the Spring Hill Land Lease Project right now, which is ideally set up for farmers' cooperatives to be established, ask any of the farmers if they belong to a farmers or a farmers' cooperative called the Spring Hill Land Lease Project Cooperative. Any farmers, there's probably a successful one called the St. George Cooperative there by the church. It is difficult getting farmers in Barbados. That's why we got so many gluts and shortages because none of them knows what the other fella is growing. Now, you talked about the guy with the bank and the large farms and the small farms. It is easier for a bank to lend a guy money who has a 10-acre farm. Now, for 40 or 20 or 10 small farmers with 1/4 acre here in Salters, 1/2 acre here so in Jericho, 2 acres in Bicorna, 1/2 acre in Fury Valley.
Right.
And they end together as a cooperative. They got to get together first. And my whole thing is that you got to teach them the spirit of cooperation, and they don't cooperate.
But, sir, let me ask you this, please, Mr. Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Barbados has had a cooperative credit union for how long?
Oh, many years. Right? Okay. I am part of that.
I know that, which is why I'm picking on you. And before that, the landship was all about cooperative movement, wasn't it? Isn't that the basis of the landship?
They never used the name
cooperative.
Exactly. All of these things about meeting turns and
stuff, blessing circles. So if we had gained the blessing circles and meeting turns, why farmers can't get together, sir?
As they hear the word cooperating,
they
get frightened.
Why?
Because they feel like everybody is wanting over the doing. Farmers are rather... I was listening from all in the 70s. As we try winning on this project started in 81, we felt so happy to know it was done when Eddie Bassett was the minister. And let me say this to you. Up to now, you can't get the farmers to cooperate. Up to now, you can't get farmers to cooperate. I work with farmers right now, not working because they don't get paid. They try to help farmers to find a market for their products. And let me tell you, Dennis, the farmers don't like telling you what they're growing. They might call you at the end of the day and tell you that they got 20 bags of cucumbers. But they don't tell you when they were planning on putting it in, so you can tell them, look, your partner or your neighbor there, so... In Wilcox already got in 20 acres.
And that coming in just before yours, right?
Exactly. So why don't you hold off for 2 or 3 weeks? So that when he's going off, yours don't coming in. Dennis, the word cooperation, the word cooperative is a bad word when it comes to not only farmers.
Yeah, I know. Small business.
And I work hard not only in Barbados. I can tell you the success stories of farmers throughout the Caribbean. I remember spending many mornings, Saturday mornings in Grenada, putting together a 20-foot container of mixed products to send to Holland. Do the same thing in St. Lucia. We, the farmers, would cooperate and bring this stuff down. Couldn't get it done in Barbados. Could not.
But, sir, isn't that the reason why we find ourselves complaining about a high import bill for produce? That we have this question of what type of diet we have our people on, wasting foreign exchange on things that we could have, and we talk about import substitution and various things like that, sir?
Dennis, I was happy to hear the new
Chief Agricultural new Officer.
I smiled when she said about food security and food sovereignty. Every speech I made when I was Minister of Agriculture that Freddie Ford and Michael King wrote hadn't, that I even addressed that at a meeting at the UN in Rome, food security and food sovereignty. It sounds real good. All right, let me say this to you. When you talk about the food import bill, there is too much access by our importers of food. There is too much access. Since 1997, when WTO and everything, when the World Trade came in and it was free trade and all the rest of the stuff, and you don't have to apply for a license to import certain things. There's going to be an open door for everything that you want. Right now, you have farmers producing cabbage in abundance, and there's a heavy importation of cabbage. You know why? Because those who sell cabbage, the merchants, the importers, they were imported much more cheaply than the locally that can be locally produced. They have a license. They don't have to apply for a license for it. And they bring, and the thing about it is that before then, in the late 80s and the early 90s, there was something in the Ministry of Agriculture called a pig production and marketing committee, a poultry production and marketing committee, a dairy revolving committee, so that whenever there's a request for import, the minister would call, in both governments, because the politicians then used to control it. It was the technocrats in the ministry, the chief and the permanent secretaries and those people in the planning unit. And we would sit down together as farmers, representatives, and the same importers, and decide how much pork you want for Easter and how much you want for Christmas. Today, you don't know how much pork coming in because nobody has to apply, nobody has to sit down with the farmers and ask them, how much are you producing? How much does the country need? Take away how much you're producing, how much the country needs, and let the fellas get a license. That does not happen today. That stopped from 1997.
Mr. Ben.
So the food import bill will always be high because even when the hotels start to
open back up,
open up again, it's going to be easy for their sous chef or whatever to open a 5-gallon tin of mixed fruit. Now for him to send on to the Spring Hill Land Lease Project and
buy some pineapples and some oranges
and oranges and bananas and watermelon
and melon.
And mix them.
And melon.
He ain't doing that because he accustomed to that. Rather than take the local products and make the tourists get accustomed to our taste, we feed the tourists the same things that they're accustomed to in their country.
But Ben, you mentioned your success in the other countries of the Caribbean,
countries,
right?
Yeah.
And this is my experience, and this is what I will share with you. You go to St. Lucia, to a hotel that has a counterpart in Barbados, that has a counterpart in Grenada, that has a counterpart in Jamaica, that has a counterpart in Antigua, wherever. And you go to the hotel in St. Lucia, and for breakfast, they say to you, you can have this morning freshly squeezed orange juice, you could have tamarind juice, you could have grapefruit juice, you could have fresh milk, you could have XYZ with your breakfast. Which would you like?